Good early morning. So where do we go from here? Revelation chapter 8 tells us about the various judgments that God brings upon the world. We've covered that over the last few months. So should we be surprised at what we're going through even now? And should we be fearful? No. Because we know that ultimately God is in control. So the question for us as a church, where do we go from here? Because, see, God is calling His church home. I've spent a week in revival services over in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I see a church there like I see a church here, a church that is in dire need of submission to God, to where God's people are coming home. That God's people have been away for too long, and God will use whatever means He needs necessary to get our attention to bring children home. It's not that He's mad. It's not that He's angry. It's that He loves us so much that He wants to be in relationship, in close relationship with us, that He says, come on home. So where do we go from here? We go home. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Verse 6 through 13. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 13. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, trials teach us what we are. They dig up the soul, the soil, and let us see what we're made of in our soul. Think about it. That trials and troubles and all the challenges we face in life just really are like a plow that dig real deep into us to show us what's really inside. And for Christians today, God is digging deep inside for us to see where we really are. With all the things going on in life, we see where we really are. Isaiah gives us great insight to a message that God is sending to the church today. Let's read together. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 13. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word, my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands instead of the thorn bush, and the cypress tree will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Let's pray together. Father God, today as we come before You, Lord, we're faced with challenges, we're faced with troubles, we're faced with fear and panic in many areas. But God, we're Your people and we look to You in faith. Lord, we know that in this sin-cursed world, things happen. And Father, today we bow before you and we submit ourselves to you, Lord, knowing that you are ultimately in control. And God, that you allow things to happen so that you bring your people home and that you challenge unbelievers to have faith and repent in them of their sins. God, show us the way today. Lord, teach us from your word. Give us strength. Give us courage and confidence in the times that we live. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are several things I want to share with you today. Life is kind of like a piece of puzzle and putting all this together. So we want to address these like a piece at a time. So the first piece we look at says in God's divine actions, he always has a bigger plan and a bigger motive in mind. So whenever God allows things to happen in this world, understand that God has a bigger motive behind it than what we see. Now, we may go through the difficult times, we may go through the troubles, but God is working something out according to his providential plan. Verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Listen, whenever we encounter adversity or tragedy in life, we must be confident in the fact that God knew all about it before it ever happened. Before it ever came to be, God already knew the things that were going to take place. Did you think God is caught by surprise as there's a toilet paper shortage at Walmart? No. You may have got caught off guard, but God didn't. And I hope you didn't get caught off guard. Listen, we will experience the shock, the loss, confusion, frustration, and disappointment from the situation or event that we encountered. Yet God allows us to grow through the grief that we endure. He allows us to grow through the challenges. If our faith is not challenged, our faith will not grow. God's reason for making things happen or allowing troubles to happen is ultimately to fulfill a plan far beyond our limited ability to comprehend. Verse 9 tells us, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We're compelled to ask God why certain events happen. That's a natural response to ask God why. Why what started out as a little small virus over in China is it now a worldwide pandemic? In this case of natural emergency, we wonder why the hype and why the outcry, why the deaths of even the most vulnerable, our senior adults. Why the sudden disruption in everyday life? Why the news media hype? Why so much fear-mongering and emotional reactions in the world business and trading around the world? Why the sudden interest in toilet paper? Why, God? Verse 9 says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God always has this bigger plan, more temporary than our temporary circumstances may reveal. People often ask, why are there so many people suffering and have to experience loss and devastation, maybe even economic turmoil? Is that God's love and mercy? Listen, suffering really is a part of living in a sin-cursed world. Christians are not immune to suffering. It rains on the good and evil alike. The sun shines on the good and evil alike. We are subject to the things going on in the world just as the unbeliever, but we have the hope in Christ. We have hope in our Lord, Savior, Jesus. That this is only temporary. We're just passing through. We have an ultimate home that we're going to. Yet, even as we go through these things and the suffering in this life, God has a plan through our pain. Listen, he never leaves us alone. Think about it. The most beautiful pearls began as a tiny grain of sand, irritating an oyster. The most costly, brilliant diamonds or transformed under great pressure and intense heat deep inside the earth. The luster of pure gold is only achieved after it has been through the refiner's fire to burn out all the impurities. Think about those things around us that we take for granted, but God's hand is working. The only way that we are the church that God wants us to be is if we're persecuted or we go through suffering, we go through pain. Why? Because God's glory can shine in us. Because when we're feeling good and the economy's good and everything's happy, you know what happens, Christians? We oftentimes say, we really don't need God. Well, I got this. Everything's going wonderful. Till you lose $100,000 in 1 month. Till you go to buy some meat for your family and the shelves are empty. Then you realize, oh, something's going on here. You realize that God is the one who's doing something in your life and in your world. And your faith in Him is what will sustain you. And He's growing that faith. We do suffer. We experience great loss and hardships. Yet through it all, God is with us. He is changing us. He is humbling us. And He is giving us opportunities to grow, to give Him glory, to help our neighbors, to treat others with love and compassion, and to store up treasures in heaven. Our losses are actually our gains when we trust them to God. Our losses, the things around us that we once held as some sort of value, are really nothing. God has a long-term plan for you and your family. Listen, he wants to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. So the second piece we can see is that God's plan is accompanied by His purpose for your life and to grow you into the person that He desires. So God is allowing us all to go through this, and we go through it together. You know what's really neat, and God put this on my heart this past week, is we get to share time on the front porch together, or back porch, or patio, or deck, whatever you have. Or if you don't have that, go find a shade tree and sit on. That you get to spend time with your family and your friends, that you can log off and get to know each other. God does not let one thing happen without a higher purpose. Verse 11 tells us, it's the same with my word. I send it out. It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Listen, we have a difficult time understanding that God has a purpose in our grief and in our loss and our changes and our devastation. How does God have a great purpose in that? God says that His word or His actions will not come back to Him empty. It's amazing that when God puts you down flat on your back or flat on your face, then He has your attention. I've learned that personally, and many of you have too. And we're kind of all learning that together now. Question is, what is God doing through this troubling time? We're quarantined in some respects because of a virus from China. Well, we usually buy stuff from China. Why not get one free? See, the world economy has flipped on its head. The stock market is up and down. Factories are temporarily closed. Travel bans to other countries that we do trade and we normally travel to. Major events, races and basketball games and hockey contests, concerts, all of those things. Large churches are even closing their doors to do video based because of a governmental ban on any gatherings over 250. Schools closed, colleges are going online, limiting things. What is God doing? Two things. First of all is this: God is calling sinners to repentance. And second thing, God is calling Christians to surrender. two things. Now, we can put up a whole lot of stuff, but the very two basic things why God allows suffering, God allows challenges, is that He's calling an unrepentant world to repentant, to repentance. And He's calling Christians who've been very apathetic about their faith, about their walk with God, He's calling them to submission. He's calling us home. Revelation 8, God allowed partial judgments to be poured out on the earth. Partial judgments. God is sending a message to the world that we are not in control in this world. He is in control. God allowed these partial judgments to be poured out upon the earth. It affects every area of human activity, and many lives will be lost. Why these judgments? Because God hates sin. God calls the world and to Himself, yet God, people arrogantly harden their heart and then turn away from God. But God is patient. He uses all sorts of methods to pull people to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise," as some understand slowness. "Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Through this pandemic, this economic uncertainty, these life-altering changes, God has our attention. God has our attention. The third piece we want to see is that God always has a bigger plan. Now God has our attention. The third thing, God has our attention to focus, to force us to refocus the direction of our lives on Him. So now that God has our attention, all of us, worldwide, the church and the unbeliever, He has our attention. He's giving us time to refocus. Because we have been so busy doing life. Parents right now in the springtime don't know what to do because they had T-ball in mind, and they had softball in mind, they had baseball in mind. They were making all their plans. Let's just stop. Now you got to sit home Tuesday and Wednesday night and Thursday night. Or you can come to church Wednesday night. Your weekends are now free for you to spend some quality time with your family and quality time with God. It's time to refocus. While we're working through this together, we must come to the realization that Jesus is the most important in our life. Verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near." We're in such a hurry for all this to end. How long will it be? Well, the kids are off till in April, and you know, businesses and travel bans. We're looking for the end, and God says, enjoy the moment. Take time to refocus your life. Many times God has to take away the distractions in our life for our hearts to be focused on Him, to impress on us, to seek Him first. Jesus reminds us over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. He says, "Don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?'" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. God lets us live our lives. And listen, He lets us interact in our relationships. He even interacts with us. He even allows us to drift away if we so choose to. God will allow you, Christian, if you want to rebel. It's like the father that gave the prodigal son his share. And he went out and wasted it. God loves us so much. and he gave us this choice to live for him every day or to squander it all away. You see, he lets us be consumed with life and all of its worries. He's patient. He calls us back to himself. God has been patient with us. God has been patient with the church. He's been patient with the unbeliever. He is calling us back. He's giving a shot across the bow. He's saying, listen, you're not in control. I'm in control. And I'm giving you some grace and some mercy. And I'm showing you right now, come on home. It's time to refocus your life. Quit worrying about all those things. Quit chasing after things in the world and pursue me first. Pursue the kingdom first. We can get carried away with the cares of life. Our career, our family, our house. You know, we want nice cars. We want better land. We want richer foods. We want fashionable clothing. We want recreation at its best, at its most relaxful and most enjoyable. Well, listen, we can pursue those things and make that our life goals. We can be consumed. It can consume our time. It can consume our money, our resources, our passion. Listen, it can even consume our worship. God sends a tragedy into our lives to shake us out of it. Out of this self-sufficient attitude that we've gained. Listen, when everything's going good, we think it's us. We did this. Nah. It's gone. Just like that. Just like that. And we start to say, wow, I don't even have a job. They just call me to stay home this week. And we've been blowing and going. We really don't have enough money in the bank to pay our bills. Sounds far-fetched. That's most of America right now. People are living on credit cards. Can't pay their bills. They miss 1 or 2 weeks of work. Things are bad. One pastor told another pastor who was going through a difficult time. He'd gotten injured, and the bank had taken a few things, and he was telling this pastor, said, listen, it's like, man, he said, if I don't get to work, if I don't get some money, I'm going to lose everything I got. Now, the other pastor looked at him, he says, well, brother, about 2 more repossessions, and you'll be debt free. See, sometimes God slows us down to get us to refocus what's most important. Don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. Don't be consumed by the cares of life. Rather, seek God first, and he will provide what you need. Well, how do we do this? The fourth thing is give your life to Jesus, and he will pardon your sins and give you a fresh start. Oh boy, there's some Christians who need a fresh start. There's some unbelievers who need a brand new life with Jesus. There's some Christians who've been away playing in the pig pens of life, and they need to be like that son who's there slopping the hogs. You need to drop the pail that you've been carrying the slop in, jump the rail, and cut a trail back home. You see, We see in verse 7, says, let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. What is God showing you this morning about where you are with him? So now that God has got your attention, God has refocused, you know what? This is one of the largest crowds we've seen in an 8 o'clock service in a while. God's got your attention. What is he showing you? You know God has allowed us to go through this challenge, go through this pandemic and things, the fallout of it. He's allowing us to go through that. It's not a waste of God's time, and it's not a waste of our time. It's not a waste of our money. It's not a waste of, no, God is allowing us. You know, God is forcing you to measure your faith. He's forcing you to refocus, relook at your life priorities. Have you been putting other cares above God? God's calling you to repentance. Listen, God doesn't make deals. He's not impressed with half-hearted attempts to be a better person. He wants all of you, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God above all else. That's what He wants. He wants your will to be lost in His will. God wants to be totally, He wants to totally transform your life, every part of you. He wants to bring you to your knees so He can lift you up in His power and His strength. He wants to bring you to your knees. Christian, God wants submission. He wants surrender. Because we can't do this. How many Sundays have you missed church that all of a sudden you realize, I need to be with God's people. Because I've been focused on the things of the world rather than things. I've allowed my Sundays to slip away. First it's one, and then it's two, and then it's three. Before you know it, it just becomes a part of your life that Sunday's just nothing. Sundays are just a second Saturday. I passed four boats while I was coming to church this morning, and two trucks with four-wheelers in the back. Sunday has just become the new Saturday. Sunday has truly become just the fun day. I pray God break them. I pray God bring them to their knees. That's not mean. Listen, that's love. That you love somebody enough that you want to spend eternity with them, that you don't want them chasing the cares of the world, that you want them chasing after God. Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Christian, are you serving Him and living in submission to His Holy Spirit? Listen, God is breaking us to make us in order that we can make much of Him. Have you been making much of Christ in your life? Is Christ the all in all for you? Is He where He needs to be in the priorities of all the things going on in your life? Is He number one? Listen, God will give you peace and courage and comfort to face the challenges ahead. Verse 12 says, you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. When He's number one, He will say, listen, there's this inner joy that comes from your soul that the Holy Spirit stirs. There's this peace that's going on inside of you because you know as the world around you can fall apart. The news media is just chat about how this is going on and that's going on. And God's just saying, it's going to be all right. And God said, I got this. Peace begins with Jesus. Do you want that kind of peace that transcends understanding? Regardless of what comes, you know that you know that you know it's going to be all right. Because God is in control of your life and ultimately in control of His world. Where do we go from here? Listen, the answer is not found in religion or denominationalism. It's not found in New Age movements. It's not found in some new spirituality. It's not found in pills or needles or alcohol. The answer of peace and comfort, it's not in self-help therapies. Your peace in this troubling time is really only found in Jesus. It's really that simple. It's in Christ and Christ alone. The fifth thing, and I'm closing. The transforming miracle that God performs in your life brings Him great honor and great benefits. Brings God great honor and new benefits. See, verse 13 tells us, where once there was thorns, cypress trees now grow. Where briars grow, myrtles will sprout up. This miracle will bring great honor to the Lord's name. It will be an everlasting sign of His power and His love. As we journey through this together, and God is calling His church home, listen, God will bless the very things that have briars and nettles, all the things that the devil wants to come in and wipe away, all those things that seem to be hopeless. God brings restoration and newness and refreshing to, because now He is in control in our life. Where worry and anxiety and frustrations and insecurity and fears once overshadowed you, listen, God gives you peace and comfort and certainty of His presence and provision. Where hurts and pain and bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness once oppressed you, God brings healing and freedom through Jesus. Listen, God has brought a miracle in your life. Where do we go from here? We go to Jesus first, because He's the one who determines our steps. Refocus your life. Christian, it's time to come home, to stay, to persevere, as we've been looking at. To stay the course with Christ. It's not time just to do a religious thing because the world seems to be in trouble. It's time to say, listen, this is a wake-up call for me as a born-again believer, as a follower of Christ. This is a wake-up call of who's really in charge of this world. And I'm His child. And He'll take care of me. And everything will be all right. Oh, church today, we go home. See the picture above you here? I'm looking at it there. That's a road that goes to my grandmother's house in Bayou Chico. And it feels like home. What an image for us. Regardless of where we've been in life, regardless of how messed up we've done, we can still hear the dinner bell across those woods. We can still hear the voice, "It's time to come home," across. God's calling to you. It's time to come home. He's given us time to refocus. He's given us time to repent. He's giving us time to get the priorities in our life correct and to trust Him completely. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the news media says, yeah, we're just going to be wise. We're going to follow the basics. We're going to be wisdom. There's some wisdom here. Right here, it has to be God, our Savior Jesus Christ. Or are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit today, in the confidence that God has you, that He's walking with you through this troubled time, He's bringing you home? Let's pray together. Father God, today there's so many questions. God, You have all the answers. We don't need all the answers. We just know that You know. And God, that we realize some special things right now. That You love us so much that You will go to any extent to bring us to Yourself. You gave Your Son Jesus to forgive our sins. Lord, You will cause this world to be in an uproar, so that believers will come home, that Christians will refocus, and that unbelievers will repent because they see that there's no hope in this world, that their only hope is in Jesus. You have our attention, God. Do what you need to do in each one of our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Just stand with me. Let's sing the chorus of Amazing Love.